This is Mae Brussel, and it's side two of broadcast 759, June 23rd, 1986. I'm going to pose some questions about this appointment of Admiral Graham, I keep calling him William, but he is Admiral Graham, as a science advisor in the New York Times, quoting Mr. Bogarod as the person who said it's useful having the ear of the president, because any science advisor, of course, has the ear of the president. So it means that he must have, through Mr. Graham, the ear of the president, because it'd be useful if they've always had a science advisor, you would have that ear. And to have his name in conjunction with the ear of the president is a little bit disconcerting, because continuing the idea of Ronald Reagan in California and the farms, and then using Monterey County as the very first testing place for live bacteria to be put onto strawberry plants, and they've already put onto trees in Oakland and so forth, and we won't know the consequence for years. Now, Lawrence Bogarod from Harvard is one of the founders, as I say, of AGS, and he is to be the future president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And William Graham, who attended Stanford University, got a degree there, who works with the Defense Department, with the Navy, with John Layman of the Navy, because he's an admiral, and Layman is Secretary of the Navy, works with atomic weapons and so forth, will be the head over these various organizations, but will co-work and have a big influence and association with the American Association for Advancement of Science, with the head of AGS being the new president of that particular group. Now, January 27th of this year, 1986, there were hearings in Salinas, in Monterey County, the Board of Supervisors, regarding the advanced genetic sciences. Many of you remember that, and I attended those hearings all day and passed out handbills, which I'll share with you again if we have time, suggesting that the use of AGS was to test the immune system of people working in the farm and field, and similar to the Environmental Protection Agency wanting to think of a way to give Mexican cancers, and then citing the book The Higher Form of Killing, with the intent of the government to test our system for various diseases. And this book is heavily documented, and also Senator Frank Church's book on investigation of mind control and medical experiments in this country that came out after Watergate 1975-76, have documented the kind of tests that were done to give people syphilis or to give them insanity in such a way that the schizophrenia wouldn't be identified by the psychiatrist as having been chemically altered. So at the hearing, I passed out these sheets asking the question about genocide, and could this be genocide, and are these tests for humans that they have to center them out here in this somewhat pathetic, the farm workers are almost impoverished, they work under terrible conditions, and the Chavez attempts to make unions available to them really diminished. The Teamsters were replaced by Mr. Cesar Chavez. So anyway, I passed out sheets on January the 27th and did a broadcast on advanced genetic sciences that week, and then continued for 5 or 6 weeks and have updated them ever since, and wrote about AIDS and the immune system, and is this part of an experimentation process that was going to continue using the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, the very next day after those hearings, and the hearings were caused because AGS hadn't notified any of the people in the Monterey County in charge of health that there was going to be such testing out in the fields, and the condition of the testing would be isolated areas, not near families, and the location where they were going to test was right next to several families and right near a school, and they were breaking the very rules that were set down for them to obey, but they hadn't notified any single person. It was only through the Green Party up in Santa Cruz and our Board of Supervisors, the chairman, Sam Karas, going to a meeting the Saturday before that we even got wind that this was happening in our area. And the very next day, January the 28th, separate from AGS, that was the morning that the shuttle blew up, the Challenger blew up, and I began to do broadcasts on the Challenger. And in those broadcasts for the next few weeks, I referred to the conflict between James Baggs of NASA and William Graham. He didn't approve of Graham being the deputy director. And the articles that I cited on this broadcast said that Graham was pushing for space war, for star war in space, and that Graham was from the Defense Department and was anxious to put nuclear weapons into space. This is our new science advisor. And asked questions about Admiral Graham being the person to represent science and protect our interests when not only was the shuttle going to probably have an accident because of the cold, but they were going to put plutonium on the next shuttle, knowing it was going to go off in January, which is also cold, and knowing the possibility that it could explode because of the solid rocket booster and the failures that it had long ago. So I wonder whether the science advisor to the President of the United States, working with the Office of Science and Technology Policy, with their background in atomic sciences, in the Pentagon, with the Navy, can really serve civilian medical science at all. Who are Lawrence Bogoran in the biology department, and what has biology department got to do with Star Wars, with atomic wars, with an admiral? Why is he so glad that he has an ear with the president? And is the president's advisor to science in concern about biological science, about live bacteria, about genetically altered bacteria, biological situations? Or has this always, and I believe it has, it's a redundant question, been part of the Defense Department with Admiral Graham moving from NASA into the science spot that was kept open? And the same people that were involved with chemical and biological warfare weapons that worked and supplied Adolf Hitler through the war and continued with these huge contracts afterwards, who are cited in the New York Times as putting up money for AGS, are the DuPonts, Roman Haas, and Standard Oil. And, of course, the directors of AGS come from DuPont and Roman Haas. And where do these areas meet? Where do biology, atomic bombs, Star Wars, and NASA disasters and AGS come together? The months from January, this was the end of January, February, March, April, May, I've been working and weaving the NASA story and the AGS together with never enough time because of the crisis in the Mediterranean and Libya and so forth, but trying to find the relationship between these groups and doing broadcasts on the relationship of NASA with experimentation of AIDS on the space shuttle discovery of Judith Resnick, the late Judith Resnick, who graduated, among other places, from the National Institute of Health, and the relationship of used aircraft to medical experiments, money that never can be questioned because it's a private institute, and then that money going to the projects of genetic engineering and immune system and DNA and things that could touch also identically with problems that would come as a result of the AGS testing, just as the unknown factor about where AIDS came from, locating it in Maryland and in Paris and also in London, the causing of AIDS is the live bacteria, the beginning of another biological warfare, because these people are not separate from those experiments that did result in breaking down the immune system at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Now, interestingly enough, the representative for Johnson & Johnson, the company that was doing the medical experiments on AIDS in the shuttle discovery, the attorney for them is John J. McCloy of the Warren Commission. I heard his name in conjunction with a lawsuit of the Johnson & Johnson family recently, and McCloy is one of the attorneys for Johnson & Johnson. And he was on the Warren Commission covering up the Eastern European links of the CIA spies to Lee Harvey Oswald and his wife Marina. Louis Neiser, who's an attorney for NASA for the entire space program, wrote the introduction to the Warren Report when the President of the United States was murdered, where we had a literal coup. We have an attorney, his own autobiography, describing how when NASA was formed and the Apollo program was going and the shuttle program, Louis Neiser from New York was brought in as the attorney, the same guy who wrote the Warren Report. And knowing their mischief in the past, I wonder, you know, just exactly what is going on in the science community melting to the military the way it does and overlaps to going back to the Kennedy assassination and to various experimentations on people. Alan Dulles of the Warren Commission ordered 100 million LSD from the Sandoz lab, which is IG Farben, to put on people in America for medical tests. And he was from the law office of Sullivan and Cromwell, where Mr. Adams came from, who came to Oakland to form AGS. And weaving in and out of this story are paths going from the Kennedy assassination to mind control to medical experimentation to the warfare state and to people who melt together at this particular time under the strangest of circumstances. Now, as I said before, Dr. Graham is on the board of directors of the Committee on the Present Danger, described in the New York Times as a conservative organization that supports an expanded military program, is a board of director of this Committee on Present Danger with a military program going to preserve people's lives, working with Mr. Lawrence Bogarde and these people from Europe, from Belgium, Holland, Germany, and Canada, with his live bacteria in the United States? Or is this part of the escalation of germ warfare tests that the Pentagon did years ago, spraying chemicals from ships in the harbor in San Francisco or in the subways in New York and giving syphilis to people in Alabama? What part of this operation that melts together at this point in time, who became noticeable to me just one day apart, what are their links exactly to science and to warfare? And why does Ronald Reagan have the man who was the director of NASA when the Challenger blew up become the scientific advisor working with the executives of AGS? Now, as part of the conservative group that he heads, he's the director. He's not just a member of Committee on Present Danger. One of the people who's active on that committee is William Hewlett, H-E-W-L-E-T-T. He's a partner with Packard, Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett just gave $50 million to Stanford University, of which Graham graduated from. He came from there, too, and Mr. Packard just gave $70 million to Stanford this past year. Hewlett is a trustee of the RAND Corporation. He's a director of Chase Manhattan Bank with Henry Kissinger, a board activist at the Chase Manhattan. He's a trustee of Stanford University. And along with David Packard, he sits on both the Committee on the Present Danger and the Trilateral Commission. So he is part of that, and it was David Packard, who was invited by President Reagan to redesign the Pentagon and shuffle that around. We haven't even done any broadcasts, shared that information, on inviting Mr. Packard to redesign the power structure of the Pentagon. Mr. Packard, with his background, not Mr. Packard, pardon me, William Hewlett. I don't know if Packard is Mr. Hewlett. Is a trustee of Stanford. I know Packard is there too, but he's a member of the Committee on the Present Danger. Some other members of the Committee of the Present Danger that share it with Admiral Graham, who's now the president's science advisor, including biology, our welfare with DNA and AIDS in biology. Among them is Richard Allen, who came from Germany after World War II with money from Germany to set up the Georgetown Center for Strategic Studies, of which Graham also is a part. Other members are Richard Burt. He's a very strong activist from the State Department, Military Affairs. Stephen Bryan, B-R-Y-E-N, whose name is linked now to recently to the Jonathan J. Pollard case with Rafi Eitan from the Mossad. I don't want to confuse you, but these people are linked not only to the Committee on Present Danger, but to the recent spy scandal that's being hushed up. William Casey, a CIA director, is part of the Committee on the Present Danger. So is Joseph Cherba, also linked to the Mossad, Rafi Eitan. Then I've described Eitan's role with Permandex and the persons behind the murder of John Kennedy. Again, it isn't just that NASA with connections with Louis Neisser or John J. McCloy with Johnson & Johnson, and they're making AIDS experiments up in the shuttle, the Discovery. But these people weave, as I say, back and forth with current agencies and agents who do go back to Dallas. Fred Ickle, the strong anti-Soviet Deputy Secretary of Defense, is a member of the Committee on Present Danger, works closely with Claire Sterling and Michael Adine and Paul Hensa, who created the story that the Bulgarians and the KGB tried to kill John Paul II, the Pope. John Layman, Secretary of Navy, who's going to get an honor. He's the honorary spokesman for the military at the Statue of Liberty. We don't need a person from the Navy. John Layman is the most aggressive, as I say, in saying coldly how he will start World War III. He's a part of that group, as is Edward Litwack. Litwack is currently on a hit list. Gaddafi would like to kill John Singh Laub and Edward Litwack. Litwack wrote Coup d'etat And it tells you how to overthrow governments and take over. He's the expert on how to overthrow and take over a government. And, of course, Dallas was a blueprint for Edward Luttwak, who came here from Europe and works with the National Security Council. And in Washington, D.C., he's a member of the Committee on the Present Danger. Richard Perle, described as the real tiger of the entire Pentagon, the most he's the most anti-Soviet person, if you can mention a most. I don't know who it is. And Richard Pipes, some of these names may be confusing. Richard Burt, Richard Perle, and Richard Pipes, all close to the anti-Soviet bloc, the Eastern group that want to really instigate and never appease or get along with the Soviet Union, instigate what is known to and referred to as World War III. And Pipes has been active at Harvard. He's there and works at Harvard and for the Committee on the Present Danger. That's one of his activities, not as part of Harvard, but that's one of his activities that Mr. Graham is on the board of directors of. And out of Harvard comes Mr. Bogoran of AGS. So that's just a few people, John Lehman, William Casey, the whole power structure of people who have been known to push more chemical warfare, biological warfare for the President of the United States. They are part of that group, and Mr. Graham, William Graham, Admiral Graham, is part of it. Now, as soon as he was announced, Admiral Graham, as being the scientific advisor, and there's no use calling him Mr. It's a warfare state, and the Admiral takes care of the biological part of the United States, so let's just keep calling him Admiral Graham. As soon as he was appointed, and that didn't happen quickly, the President probably had this brewing for a month or two, or even long before the Challenger even went down. He was only the acting director of NASA, but one day after the announcement that Bogoran had a ear to the White House, the story came out in the wire services, Advanced Genetics settles their complaints. Advanced Genetics Sciences said yesterday they had a settlement with the Environment Protection Agency. The settlement was that they're supposed to pay a $20,000 fine. It was dropped to $13,000, and Joseph Bouckaert, B-O-U-C-K-A-E-R-T, said the agreement means that they can go ahead now and get a use permit for testing bacteria in open spaces. And this article is in the San Francisco Chronicle, told how they were stopped in Monterey County because there were fears that it might harm the environment that led to an uproar in the rural community. And you better know that it did lead to an uproar of a few people, and the news media from around the world were there. Another story that I'm going to develop more later, as I say, from Wall Street Journal, has to do with a biological firm called Fermenta. It's in Sweden, and it's run by Mr. Grillhammer. The head of the company is Grillhammer is the owns Volvo. He's the chairman of Volvo. And Fermenta is a biological system that is in Sweden. The details sound similar to AGS. And Fermenta AB is owned by Volvo Car Company, and Mr. Grillhammer, the head of Volvo, is one of the officials of Kissinger Associates. It's Sweden's drug and biotechnology industry under Fermenta, and there's been a lot of scandals about that, and a lot of names have surfaced that I have outlined and will share with you. Another article in Wall Street Journal just recently, Roman Haas has to settle 23 suits involving cancer. Now, several executives from AGS and also Roman Haas themselves have put a large percentage of funding into AGS. It's a splintered group from these various larger companies, one of them being Roman Haas, and they recently made a settlement for $25 million out of 23 lawsuits of causing cancer for approximately 72 individuals that will get a settlement. So their record, even as of this past week, say of June of 86, is hardly clean. The cancer goes way back a long time, but they finally made a settlement, and they've been doing pollution, as has J. Peter Grace, and I haven't even gone into his problems and the seven deaths that have followed since they have polluted New England. I believe it's Connecticut and or Massachusetts, rather, where J. Peter Grace has a place that is spilling off a chemical plant that's causing leukemia there. Now, after the announcement of Graham becoming the head of Reagan Science Department and Mr. Bogoran of AGS, you know, praising the fact that he has an ear to the White House. Within 19 days, a article came out very shortly, because the announcement was actually the 6th, the 5th, rather, of June. And right after that, an editorial came out just this morning in the Wall Street Journal, 18 days after the appointment. And the gist of the article is titled Rumpelstiltskin. The editorial is long, and it's unsigned, and it's about Jeremy Rifkin in biotechnology being like Rumpelstiltskin in the fairy tale, who taunts the queen about the name of her first child and tries to get her name, and it delights in frustration. The article, if you can call it an article or an editorial, is about the enjoyment Jeremy Rifkin gets in frustrating AGS. Now, all of a sudden, with Mr. Bogard, the president of this prestigious National Science Group, and working with Admiral Graham, all of a sudden, the Wall Street Journal takes a long attack at Jeremy Rifkin for what he's trying to do, which is to protect the environment. And their purpose, of course, is to go hog wild with the powers that be. And I'm sure Mr. Rifkin cannot stop Roman Haas or IG Farben or Standard Oil unless he understands their connections to some of the things they've done before and the threat of what they could do in the future just based on their track record. I called him in Washington this morning and asked him if he knew that Bogard, the man who was on the board of AGS, was affiliated with Graham, who's the new science advisor, and that just days after Graham was appointed, a full-blown attack, a barrage of disinformation was thrown out to the Wall Street Journal. And I sent copies of information of Mr. Bogard and where he came from. He came from Eastern Europe, incidentally, and I had this on my broadcast, and we'll review it for you if you want, and told him his role as a officer in the board of directors of AGS and in the scientific board of AGS, and how he has an ear in the White House. And after that, not only do the fines get reduced and the AGS can start putting out their live bacteria, but then Mr. Rifkin is slammed with this horrible kind of an article. Now, the article from Wall Street Journal said Jeremy Rifkin, as I say, is biotechnology's Rumpelstiltskin. He delights in frustration, just as Rumpelstiltskin did with the Queen. The article goes on, Jeremy Rifkin, working in Washington, cavorts with the regulatory bureaucracy, federal courts, and media newsrooms, and holding hostage the emerging benefits of genetic engineering. Now, we heard the emerging benefits of atomic energy, of atomic weapons. It would keep us in peace. It would give us all this energy to replace electricity that was going to run out. The world has never been closer to war. We have 50,000 atomic bombs ready to go. There's never been a time where we were closer to dropping them and taking the consequences, better dead than red. It's given no security to generations that have come since then, and it hasn't made anything better. Whatever the emerging benefits are of genetic engineering, I hope he isn't saying that they are similar to the emerging benefits when they sold us these atomic weapons. The Wall Street Journal says, like Rumpelstiltskin, Mr. Rifkin fashions what passes for gold in Washington. Favorable publicity out of facts made of straw. Well, Mr. Rifkin doesn't make gold by having publicity. He isn't making money on this. He's putting up his own money. He's putting up his own time. He isn't selling anything. He isn't running for office. But AGS says they want to make an $80 billion industry out of genetic altering. And these other people are anxious to do the same thing without the known consequences. The whole thing is reversed, that the people and the companies ready to roll with genetically altered products are the ones who are altruistic, and that to get publicity about the lies that they've told and the spraying that they did that they weren't supposed to do and the conditions that they didn't meet and the fact that they actually were doing this 2 years ago in Texas and didn't tell anybody, and they sprayed trees in Oakland without permission to do it, and we're going into area where there was homes and it wasn't cleared out. None of that is a factor to Wall Street Journal. The only factor is to break down Mr. Rifkin as being a person in the way of tremendous benefits to society. The editorial goes on, the genetics could have enormous effects. President Reagan has recognized this fact. And there they go into Reagan in this editorial. It sounds more like it was written by Thomas Buchanan and his organization, his conservative organization, and goodness knows William Casey can, and Richard Allen, former National Security Director, they could, from the National Security Agency, they could come up with a few authors like Buchanan, if not Buchanan. But this article says that Ronald Reagan, the President of the United States, recognizes the fact of the enormous value of genetic engineering. You can better believe he does. I believe he recognizes the enormous fact of how it could serve his particular purposes. And he goes on, last Friday, June the 20th, Reagan revealed a set of guidelines designed to simplify regulations of promising new organizations and facilitate their manufacture. So on June the 5th, he announces, and Graham isn't sworn in yet, but he announces that Mr. Graham will be his science advisor. And on June 20th, he has already talked about reducing the regulations, and so that the deputy under Graham, who may be acting director right now, who hardly approves, the current acting director who's stepping out, approves of Graham, the admiral, the Star Wars chief, the atomic bombs expert, so that they're promising wonderful things of these organisms. The editorial continues, to see how Rifkin's process works, it is useful to take a closer look at his highly publicized four-month assault on a small biotech company. And again, I sometimes repeat for a purpose, and it's useful to do that. The argument about AGS as being a small company goes on and on in all the literature. How can you come down on a small company? How can you hurt a small company? If you have a director that flies back and forth from Belgium, if the bacteria is live bacteria brought into the United States, and I'm not even sure that is legal. I understand it's live bacteria. It doesn't even taken care of in Oakland where they work on it in the lab. If it comes from money, 15% of the money from Roman Haas, from DuPont, from Standard Oil, from Canada, from Belgium, from Sweden, from the Max Planck Institute in Germany, how is this a small biotech company? Just as Litton Industries started by taking $43 million of cost overruns, in quote, from used aircraft, then they became in charge, and I want to do more on that in the next week, if not next week, the week after, become in charge of the National Institute of Health. They simultaneously overthrew the Greek government and put a Nazi regime into power there and effect the transition of Spiro Agnew as Richard Nixon's vice president, coming around out of the Greek dictatorship. And Litton Industries takes money from an aircraft factory like used aircraft, whose profit goes to the used medical institute for DNA and AIDS and immune studies. And then they take their money into Litton Industries and make electronic equipment for the Defense Department and also work on immune systems and health at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and the Hall of Laboratories. The germ warfare laboratories are turned over to people who have splintered off from used aircraft. So used can work two angles. They can send their money and profits to Florida and then distribute it around the country to specific hospitals that have been linked to biological and chemical experiments on human beings, or they can start their own company in California and give them an office in Fort Detrick, Maryland, where they all connect again and make a full circle of the United States linking defense and medicine. I don't have time to finish the editorial here against Jeremy Rifkin, but the tone is really offensive, and it gives a rationalization for the Environmental Protection Agency excusing their spraying trees or causing of canker into trees that they injected with this bacteria. It's a complete whitewash, and the point is that AGS now is identified as working closely through one of its founding board members with the head of the science department now for Ronald Reagan, and Reagan is reducing the penalties and whitewashing anything that these institutions do. And as I say, as governor of California, he had no love for the farm workers or this area where they work, and it is a very suspicious set of circumstances. I'm running out of time now, so I have to stop with AGS. I'll do more next week on AGS, AIDS, the new science advisor, and what is taking place in Washington. Meanwhile, this is Mae Brussel. I'll be back with you next week. Thank you for the books and articles, and I'll try to answer some letters probably this week.